Okay, our format calls for a guest speaker followed by open discussion. Our guest speaker will share for between 30 and 45 minutes before calling on people to share. During the open discussion portion, maybe ask if you keep in mind the number of people here so that everybody who wants to gets a chance to participate. It's now my pleasure to introduce tonight's chair speaker from Hanford. This is Chris. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First off, Kyle, that was great because you know what? One of the things that I was told was, or what I haven't been told here in the rooms, that I laugh in inappropriate times.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's one of my bad traits. I laugh when I get scared, when I get nervous, everything. It's a defense mechanism, you know, and with us around here, we all have kind of a sick sense of humor, usually. You know, so it comes off like that. So I appreciate that. I hope you're okay.
Just coffee. Just coffee.
And I'm not even good. And I hope you forgive me, but that's part of my trade. I start laughing. I'm like, oh shit.
No,
I don't know what I use. So, my name's Chris, and I have my sobriety date is February 5th, 2015. So I just celebrated 7 years.
Right on.
You know, I always hated my story because I thought it was boring. You know, reading from chapter 3, you know, all the things that everyone supposedly did to stop drinking. I never did any of those. I never wanted to stop. It was just a way of life. And I was enabled my whole life to where I was never made to stop. You know, and for a long time, I always felt, when my birthday was coming up or when someone asked me to speak that, you know, as a true alcoholic, let me think of some good shit to say. You know, cause I want to impress everyone. I want everyone to, you know, go, oh man, I don't have much of that, at least to me. You know, but the one thing I didn't really realize anything or realize it's, that's okay. Because we all have our own stories. And the one thing that we do have in common is that we're all drunks. And we had to figure out a way to get here. And everyone took a different road. But it's funny, it's like a big interstate where all these roads come in one. And I'd say, hey. So I started drinking pretty early. I remember having my first drink probably when I was 8, 9 years old. It was my dad handed me a little, one of the Miller Lite bottles. It had maybe a couple of swallows in it. And he said, here, finish this up. And man, I thought that made me a man. That was awesome. Didn't really drink any time after that. It was if I could get a couple here and there. I didn't understand it. Went to Catholic school. So I was really screwed up. There was so much stuff being pumped in. I was so sheltered. I graduated 8th grade. There was 14 kids in the class. Got to high school, and I was just blown away. I mean, people were drinking, smoking. There was girls that were pregnant. I never even held a girl's hand. That's what kids have done in hell. I was a very small fish in a big pond. And I couldn't adapt. I never had the social skills. I always felt less than. I always felt different. But the one good thing about it, I was always the funny guy. So that's how I got to life. I was always the funny guy. My freshman year, another kid that's kind of an outcast, asked me to come over, and, his mom didn't mind buying us booze and getting us weed. And, I found my love. I finally felt normal. I felt, it gave me a sense of just invincibility. I got to where I didn't care what everyone else thought, because that was my big thing. I was so scared and insecure that I worried so much about what everyone else thought. So I went through my high school, pretty much partying. That was all I cared about. Got out of high school, got married very early, and had a kid. That didn't work. My son was 6 months old when we split up. So then I became a single parent that didn't know how to dual parent. And during that time, I didn't really drink much because she wouldn't have. So I pushed all that aside. So we got divorced and I got my first DUI. Personal. Just bought a house and got a DUI. I thought my life was over. You know, I thought I was going to lose everything. But I didn't. And a month later, I had no license, met my second soon-to-be wife. And I remember, again, living in Hanford, no license, driving on my first date, here to Visalia, to a bar, drinking and driving. So I didn't learn much. It wasn't important enough to me. This was more important. Because I always had to have someone, because I never knew how to be happy. I didn't know. It didn't make sense to me. Nothing I did really made me happy. I was always looking for, oh, this will make me happy. Let me do this. This will make me happy. Let me hang out with these people. This will make me happy. So what I found is when I was with someone, I could get happiness through them, or so I thought. Everything went pretty good. Had another kid, and we were together for 17 years. And one day she came and said, "Hey, I'm done." And I didn't know why. And I couldn't understand it. I always worked, always had a house. Kids were always fed. But that was the last day I drank. You know, a lot of times I hear a lot in the rooms that you can't get sober for someone else. And I think for me, I got here because of someone else. I want my family back. And I wasn't drinking, but I wasn't doing anything else. I'd go to meetings and, sit in the back, wouldn't say anything, didn't get a sponsor. You know, I was trying to get it by osmosis. I was trying, you know, because I'm a real alcoholic. I'm a procrastinator. I want someone to give me it because I don't want to work for it. And I sat around. My wife still left me. And it took me 6 months to get a sponsor, and that was the worst 6 months of my life because I didn't have booze. Stick the edge off everything. I didn't have any of the other answers or the tools. And I thought I was going crazy. Finally got a sponsor and started working the steps. And, you know, it was like a sponge. I was 44 when I got sober. And that really pissed me off because I thought my life was over. And I couldn't understand it. I would get mad at everyone. I would get mad at people that came in with cork carts because I thought, you know, why don't you just do what you're supposed to do? I get mad at people that would come in and, you know, obviously not really take the program serious, but their significant other stayed with them. I'm like, well, I'm trying to do great. Why can't I? You know, why didn't it work out for me? I was mad when people laughed. I hated it because I was hurt so bad inside. Until I got into the program, I started working those steps. And, you know, as soon as I got going and doing those things, man, it was amazing. I remember, doing my fifth step and it just felt like a ton of rocks were lifted off of me because, you know, being an insecure, I always called myself the short fat white guy, because if I said it, no one else could say it. Or if you did, it didn't bother me, because I already shut myself on the bus, so you can't hurt me now. But all my secrets, all the things that I would never tell anybody, all that came out. And all those secrets just didn't have the power they had, before. Going through I had my son 2 days a week, and the other 5 days, it was like a pinball machine in my head, just thoughts, bang, bang, bang. I could not keep my head straight. Even going through with the steps, until I completed all that, till I got to the end. And then I found some serenity. But I'll tell you folks, I don't know, I always like to think I'm special and no one else thinks anything like me. But, I mean, that comes and goes. And one of the things I figured out for myself is, no matter how much sobriety anyone has, when you're not working a program, this stuff goes away pretty quickly. I was told early on, find people and stick with people that have what you want. And I wanted to have fun. I wanted to live. I wanted to enjoy life. And, I did a lot of that. But then I got, about 3-4 years in, maybe 5, got a new girlfriend, got a little complacent and, didn't need these meetings as much. Everyone was pissing me off. You said something and I don't agree with that, because me with 5 years, I know everything. I figured it all out, and I started weaning myself, COVID hit, and, I was a secretary. It was easy. For an hour, I'd show up on Zoom. I didn't really have to do nothing. We weren't going out to eat. That was a big thing. When I first got in, the meeting before the meeting after the meeting, the going out to eat, that was huge for me when I first got in, because when we went out to eat, that's when I got to ask all my questions. That's why I got to throw all my stuff out. I lost all that because it was gone. I talked to my sponsor on the phone. Not the same thing. And as a good alcoholic, I can manipulate or justify all kinds of stuff. Up until probably about 6 months ago, I was not a happy camper. What I found out was I wasn't doing the program anymore. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't batshit crazy, but it was almost like it was a dark cloud. They say the pink cloud, when you find that pink cloud, well, this was the dark cloud. And nothing made me happy. A lot of stress, a lot of stuff going on, and I said screw it. I started going to 5-6 meetings a week and talking to people, working with people. I've never sponsored a lot, and it's probably because I never went to a lot of meetings, when I was ready to. But then I started to get some sponsees, and it took me a while, because like I said, as an alcoholic, I know I'm an alcoholic, because I never wanted just one beer. I never just wanted one drink. And it's always been what Chris wants, how Chris sees it. To work the steps with the sponsee, or just talk to them and see that glow in their face, to see them somewhat getting it. I think that was my first time appreciating and feeling whole. Excuse me, I'm not checking my my Facebook or anything, but I have a bad memory. But there's a couple things, you know, the shirt I'm wearing, I saw it, you know, stupid online, but it says, iron sharpens iron. And, you know, it's a proverb, 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens metal. The simple statement, you know, the process, you know, what it talks about is if you only have one piece of iron, it will always get dull because you have nothing else to sharpen, no other tool to sharpen it with. And it's like people. You have one person. If you're not sharpening yourself with someone else, you get dull. You lose it. You don't have that. And that's something that I've heard throughout, you know, my time in this program is working with others. That's the whole part. Being in service. Giving back. You know, I was given this stuff so freely. And when my sponsor would drop everything at the drop of a hat and hate me, I mean, Rigor's honesty, back in my head, I'm thinking, this guy's stupid. Does he not have a life? But that's part of it, you know? That's part of it. Giving back. Giving the things, you know? One of the other things in the last 6 months that I really concentrated on to be happier than I've ever been, to be secure and happy with myself, you know, it took me a while. Even being sober, not loving myself. But, you know, one of the other things in the big book, it talks about, you know, on page 84, into action, we had to cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. That's me. I love to fight because I'm a one-upper. And I gotta show you that I'm right because I never thought I was smart enough or smart at all. So I had to always prove it to other people, you know, and fighting everything and everyone. I mean, you know, I don't know, I caught a little bit of something earlier, someone was saying, but man, I fight shit all the time because I hate it just because that's not what I want. But I've gotten better at just accepting, you know, find a little story. One of the other great things is I have four kids and I was never much of a father to them. Never did them, but mentally abused the shit out of them. Treated them like shit. Because I felt so bad about myself. And so Friday, we went over to my mom's house to dice some Easter eggs. And did some Easter eggs. My oldest son was having some problems, and you know, I tell him, "Hey, you know, that's life. Life is hard sometimes. Things are gonna come, things are gonna go, but you gotta remember that, you know, don't make it bigger than what it is. Take it as it is, and be thankful that it's not worse." So, you know, Chris, I'm feeling good because I just, you know, I saved his life. I go home and I'm sitting on my couch for about 15 minutes. I hear a big, big boom, boom. I run outside. Drunk driver hit my truck sitting out in my front, in front of my house. And, you know, first thing was disbelief. Second was, you know, being pissed. As soon as he walked out of the car, you could tell, you know, and my son, you know, the one I just gave all the advice. I called him and say, "Hey, my truck just got hit. They're wanting all this stuff. I'm trying to figure stuff out on my phone, my insurance, my tow truck, and having all these scenarios in my head. You know, I got to work Monday. Well, how am I have to share it for a meeting. I'm saying, I got to call Bill and tell him I can't." And he comes over and he goes, "Dad, it'll be all right. Remember? You know, everything's not as bad as it could be." And he goes, "No one got hurt." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're right." You know, something that I never thought I could do is that night I prayed for that guy. You know, because obviously not that I can say it for sure, but I mean, he's one of us, and he's to find his way. You know, hopefully that's his bottom. You know, even in the back of my head, I keep sitting there thinking, you know, I'll be in a meeting in town and see him walk in. I can't be old Chris and say, you know, screw this guy. I gotta get up and welcome him and ask him if he needs numbers and hopefully help him. You know, but that's what the program gives. You know, I don't even know what it's talking about. I have a bunch of time.
You're good.
Okay.
There he is.
You know, I gotta say, I'm kind of a all or nothing person, as a lot of us are, black and white. It's not always what I say, but how I say it that gets people. But one of the things I'm so strong about this program and love it so much that I have a hard time not trying to coddle. I was enabled my whole life. My mom enabled me. My wife enabled me. You know, this program is a great program. It's not for who wants it, who needs it. It's for who works it. You know, I see people come in all the time. And I can't really judge them. I feel bad. I feel sorry. But I feel like it's not, I don't do my full duty if I don't say it. Again, like me in the beginning, I didn't get this program from osmosis. You know, we're all alcoholics. How many of us we've manipulated, we've lied, done all these things, we fake, you know, for so long. Save the shit, you know. I mean, you can go to 1,000 meetings, but if you're not working those steps, if you don't have a sponsor, you're not doing the program. You know, one of my favorite, I love analogies because it helps me look at things. Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time, if you work out, if you like to go to the gym and work out and get the results. If you think you look good, you feel good, you stop going. And that's all going to go away. And you sure the hell can't go in that gym, sit on the bench press bench, and just close your eyes and go, okay, I'm getting buffed now. It's not going to work. You have to do it. You have to put the work in. And, you know, as much as all of our, you know, it says in the big book that normally all of us, we would never be together out on the streets.
Yeah.
Different lives. But we're here. And, you know, make the most of it. You know, because if you guys are like me, when shit's going good, I very rarely sit there and say, man, things are going good. Thank you so much. I don't even deserve this. I just feel like I deserve it. But when it's going bad, I'm like, what the hell? What did I do? You know, what did I do to deserve this? You know, my truck got hit. Why me? There was a truck 10 feet in front of me. Why did I hit that guy? You know, but that's life. Those are the things. I can say I honestly know that I would not be in the position I'm in if it wasn't for Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't have as much as I did. Materialistic-wise, but spiritually, and just in my heart, I've got tenfold what I used to have. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's all from working a program, and I don't work it perfect. I suck a lot of the days. You know, I was at a news meeting on Friday, and one of the best things someone said during the meeting that I took was that his sponsor told him, you know, you can think about it. You can think about anything. Just don't do it. You know, don't do it, and you'll be all right. Because we all have those thoughts. We all have these things, you know. And it's progress, not perfection. And it's one day at a time. And I appreciate you guys for allowing me to come here and share. And I always feel I get it off of me. And I get to come in here and hopefully, you know, say something that someone can relate to. And it's part of the giving back. And I look at it right now, and you guys are giving me more than I could ever give you. Because you're here. I mean, this is amazing. And this guy, I want you guys, this guy right here, he's good. You know, because when he asked me to come, he didn't say Easter Sunday. He just said April 7th. But you know, I'm very appreciative, and I can't tell you how much I am thankful. So,
all done, man.
So Chris told me, he said, so we record these meetings, and he said, oh, you don't need to record down there. He's going to say, you're wrong. That was a great message. Thank you, Chris. We are now starting the discussion portion of the meeting. We'd like to hear from as many people as possible. We have people online as well as here in the room. So please ask them, please keep in mind that we'd like to give everybody a chance to share. And so I'm going to turn the meeting back over to Chris and let him follow people. By the way, Chris, these are people in person, and then these are the online guests.
All right. Well,
man, I'm terrible at picking. Let's go with Nate.
My name's Nate. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Nate.
Thanks for your open, Chris. Appreciate it. It's my first time at this meeting. I really like it. This is a good place, seems to be. I mean, a little bit about my story. I've been drinking a long, long time. Junior high, started drinking. I've been through several rehabs trying to quit. You know, I've had sponsors and worked the steps and I just never clicked with it. I just never did it. And I'd always go out and laugh. But when I relapsed, I'd go out for years, for a long, long time. And, so it's this last time, it just got really bad. I mean, I've lost almost everything. You know, I ended up, a good friend of mine ended up going into the mine. I'd never heard of the mine before, and I was thinking about going somewhere anyway. I thought, well, if he's there, then, you know, at least I know somebody there, I can go in there. And so I've been in the mine, going up on 2 months. I left for a little while, I had to go right back, but started right on the same track, and started drinking again, I left too soon, but, anyway, this time the program seems to be working. I've got a great sponsor this time. He's walking me through the steps. I'm doing the book a little different. And for whatever reason, if it's just because I'm ready, it's just time. I'm just done living that life. And I'm just done drinking. It's just cost me everything. And but for whatever reason, the program's working for me. Thank goodness. Thank God. I'm going to stay at mine and finish out mine. My time there, and I'm just going to dive into this program. You know, everybody keeps saying it's true. I only have to change one thing, and that's everything. And so I'm going to have to, you know, I got to cut off all my friends. Everybody I know drinks, you know, for a party some way or another. And I just got to cut ties with everybody and just dive into this program. And got to do it right this time, you know. My son, I saw my son yesterday. He's 26 years old, I was 26 when I had him, and he's never known me sober, and it tears me up. You know, I wasn't there for him when he was growing up, and he's a great kid, great guy. He's doing great, but you know, his childhood was rough. I wasn't there, and when I was there, I was drunk, and so it's just you know, it's great to see him. I'm glad I quit that relationship. I'm sure there's a lot of other ones, but. You know, so if I'm not doing this for him, I'm doing it for me, and I got to try to repair some of the damage I've caused to my family. Anyway, I just wanted to hear this great meeting. Dan, Chris, thanks for your open, and I'll keep coming back.
Thanks, Dave. Glad you're here, buddy. Since I kind of made fun of you a little bit, Amber, give me a chance to rebuttal.
I'm Amber, an alcoholic.
Hey, Amber.
Oh, my gosh. Really amazing day. Today is one of those days, and y'all still know me, you know, but, like, I will let it out if I'm feeling emotional. I think it's a beautiful thing, right? Like, 8 years ago, Easter is the mark for me where, like, it was my first holiday when I had left my ex-husband. He had the kids. We were going back and forth with custody and court and everything. And it's crazy because I can sit here and I'm like, oh, my God, that was Easter. I tapped into, like, how I felt anxiety. It's really deep because I really resonate with a lot of what you were talking about. And for me, it was this, and just over, like, I was fucking terrified of my own feelings. I was terrified of them. They were overwhelming. My thoughts, my head was not right. I could not hear any space for one calm, peaceful moment in my head. It was like that for years. You know? And, I'll never forget that feeling now. Because today, being a different person, and I had to work for the peace that I have inside me too, right? It is about the work that you put in. And it will be equivalent to how far you get and the progress that you make in the program, you know? We can very easily backslide, quick, it's myself for me. And I'm like, oh shit, and I did the same thing. My sponsor said, you need to go to like 5-6 meetings this week. And you need the same thing next week. And putting in the work. And there's times where like I'm just so overwhelmed with how much better things are. And it didn't happen overnight. You know what I mean? It didn't. And you put a penny in the jar every day. And you keep on doing that, you know, and it starts to add up though. On Easter, you know, 8 years ago, I remember waking up on my mom's couch and I pulled over and she gave me a basket. And that saved my life possibly because I was so ready to have the worst day of my life because I wasn't going to be with my kids on Easter, right? And that just was literally the end of my world. And most of you is because I've become so codependent on my kids and my life that surrounded them. Nothing was about me anymore. I was a shell. Running circles around four kids. He had two boys. We had two of our own. And him too. He was an adult child at times as well. Today, you know, I've fought so hard and worked so hard. Even to just get, I had DUI 3 years ago to get half custody of my kids, you know. And today we get to wake up and now I get to drop the whole like vacation mom shit, right? And today I told my kids, okay, I'm not buying you anything for your baskets. We're going to make sandwiches and we're going to go pass those out. And it was an amazing experience to do that today. You know what I mean? I get to show my kids just a different way to live, you know? And then hearing you guys talk about, you know, your stuff with your kids, I'm just so lucky. My God, I always keep thinking to myself, I've lost all this time with them. No, I haven't. You know what I mean? I have not. I get this, you know? Well, I'm just so extremely grateful that I get to do the little things that I can look back and it's not about like being like the good mom too. Like, you know, I really want to show them a different way to live. And a lot of those spiritual principles that I'm so strong about now all come and been feeding into me with AA, with the principles of AA, you know, working the steps of AA. I just got here to AA. I got service. And you need, right? I have to put my fingers together. I got the triangle right here. Like, it's no fun to joke. It's the way of life for me now. And so today I'm just so thankful because I look around and, you know, 2.5 years into this journey I've had, and it keeps getting better. But I keep thinking to myself, you know what? I just get a little bit more peace. A little bit more settled in myself. I can sit and fucking just, one time I could have been, what's wrong? And I'm like, and she realized I was sitting there because she'd seen me squirm around and be this anxious person that walked in her door, you know, looking to have somebody, you know, guide her through these steps of AA. And I'm also so thankful for my sponsor too. It takes this long. I've been doing my homework the night before. I have to write all sorts of awesome things about how full of myself I am, which has been amazing. because I actually have a great sponsor, one that tells me when I bother her about some stuff, or she's really ready, she sees that I'm ready to start dealing with something else. And she'll, because she sees it too, you know, her and I are a lot alike. And that work I've most recently done has really brought a lot more peace. Gosh damn, I'm selfish. I'm still really selfish.
Mm.
And, I'm just really glad to know that, right? I'm kind of, it just is another fucking, just another, another way of seeing life. And it's all through, these steps of AA that, program takes us through. So today I'm really thankful. That's amazing. You know what I mean? This is probably the biggest takeaway that I can have today is my peace is so closely relative to my relationship with God. Right? He's the author now. I don't have to write anything. How amazing is that? I thought I had to write my whole life. Everything. Right? It's not my job. I'm really thankful for that too. And it's crazy to go to church for like 11 years and then to walk in these doors and to continue to read the literature and see how AA talks about spirituality and brings us to that beautiful relationship with God. It's amazing. And so with that, I'm really glad to be here. I'm really glad you guys are here.
Bye-bye.
I wouldn't be a good alcoholic if we didn't call on Mystic Mushroom.
Mystic Mushroom.
They can unmute and join us?
Yes, I am the Mystic Mushroom, and I've been sober since July 21st, 2021, and I'm mainly just here to listen. Thank you.
Hey, yeah, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
How about Randy?
Hi, Johnny, I'm alcoholic.
Hey, Randy.
Thank you for your share. When you're talking, it made me start thinking a lot about myself. Before I entered the AA, I wondered where I'm from, just in life in general. When I think about it now, it seems that all the times that I've been running from my problems, I ended up in juvenile hall, NYA, prison, and I remember in 2007 when I was home one time in Kermali, I remember writing my daughter. My daughter was turning 17. And I remember her saying that, I want to apologize to her for not being there for her. I remember telling her how good of a father I was being when I got out, and that she'll never bring me to drugs or to alcohol or to prison. You know, and I got out. That's exactly what happened. I went back to alcohol, and when I thought just continue on my life, you know, and that time on. When I sit back and think about it now, how bad of a person I was. I see that, to understand that I lost my identity, going through all this stuff. I didn't really know who I was at all. I lost my identity trying to step to my surroundings. I began to, if people may want to feel like when I would go to jail, if it can't be tough, but then I was going to be the toughest one. If people were going to fight, I want to be the best fighter. If something was going to crack off, I wanted to crack off first. That's just the way that I would survive. In the midst of all this stuff, I became a person that I didn't know, a person that I wasn't happy with. So I reached AA, I wondered how I was going to fix this. Because of my past, I have a long criminal record, I had a CPS case, and I had my biggest anger and resentment was to CPS. I thought, how can they take my baby? How they don't know me? I have other kids. I have eight other kids, and I never had a problem with that. And everything else was like that. When I started going through steps, every problem that I depended on was everything but myself. So it took me, I was still working on it, but the first time when I went through the steps, I peeled back the layer, but I did find it. I found the way out. And it took me a minute to understand it. I mean, to live it. Now I'm living it. But in the beginning, I just understood it. I myself too. I thought that I got this. That when I spoke about complacency, I would go to these meetings and stuff, and I'll go home and I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm going to share. I'm doing it because I'm from right here and I'm secretary of this meeting. No one, oh yeah, you want to support protection? I said, please. No one, and I thought that I had all figured out, little by little I stopped going, and then little by little I went back, and back, if you say. One of the things that coming back was I had a bunch of shame, I'm saying this because it's okay to the people that have went back or are barely coming back, it's okay, that's part of recovery, as long as you learn from it. For me, I went in and I was ashamed to go before the people that I was secretary in the meetings, it was in prime recovery, and one of the things was I felt so bad, I almost didn't want to be there, I wasn't comfortable with my own skin, but that's also another part of self, it's not about me, that was my condition, I didn't understand the condition. I did everything the program says. Even I used to play about triangle and talk about triangle, but I never put myself in the middle of it. I never understood that. And when it came down to it, I got my sponsor back, and it took him a while. He wanted to make sure I was still there, and it took him a while to start taking me back to the steps. But what he did tell me is he messed up somewhere. This triangle right here, he messed up somewhere. So we need to figure out what side of the triangle that you're doing. He told me, where do you see yourself in recovery? And I was like, oh yeah, I'm in recovery. I'm recovery as well. No, you're not, because if recovery is working steps. So, but that, we both agree that you don't have that side of mind. I thought that was the side that I had. He told me, well, yeah, I went to steps, so you can't find the server side. So, right now it seems that you've only got one side right here, unity side. So where you messed up is you need to go to the steps. And so you said you're going to go to the steps, but you never showed up. So I had to sit there and he had to tell me that this guy said, so every single step over again and told me, are you going to go in to get this? At that very moment, I knew exactly what it meant to go to the end. Because this time around, the thing that I did do, the suggestions that people see was the sheets, say, like, you gotta have, death and weight. I didn't understand that exactly what that meant. I thought it was just a figure of speech or someone else's thing, like, oh, why didn't I say that? One thing that kind of confused me was words like nil in the readings. The result was nil. So one day I looked it up, and I figured out that nothing, that zero. The result is zero. So I thought, what else don't I know? So I took a pencil and paper, I wrote down every word that I didn't know, that I thought of what, that I tried to fill in the blanks. And I learned that that's what death weight is. So I started paying attention to every single word, because it says right there that those are precise things in the book on how to take away this obsession. Right now I'm still on step zero. I'm still on step zero. Today I was supposed to meet with my sponsor and Easter. We counted for Easter with the families. But I said that's all I want to share. Just don't give up, keep on doing it. You gotta stay in the triangle and you gotta leave the triangle. That's it.
Thanks, Randy.
First off, one of the things that you said made me think about not knowing yourself. None of us know ourselves because we're always trying to be someone else.
Yeah.
Because we're so unhappy in our own skin. And for me, it took a while. And I'm still doing it. Still learning things about me. Because I'm a people pleaser. Because I want people to like me. And to find those things, so it is difficult, but it's a lifelong journey. How about online, Doug T?
Hi, I'm Doug, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Doug!
Yeah, I'm a pass today, but thank you for your share, Chris. I can definitely relate to that. Just glad to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Dad.
Thanks, Doug.
Okay, how about David G?
That would be me.
Alright.
Thank you, Doug, for your share. I can very much identify with, as a little kid, feeling out of place. You reminded me that it was important for me to be the class clown. I
And people may have... I didn't know how bad of a problem that was. But it happens that they took my desk, put it against the side of the wall, and then put a cardboard barrier around me so that I couldn't be the class clown. And I still managed to, there was a chalk tray behind us, so I still managed to stuff messages inside the, and it's like, shoot them down with the wall. I may have had a problem, right? I loved in your share how you talked about the iron sharpens iron, right? That, if I'm not plugged into the unity, I'm going to start thinking that I can do this on my own. Nothing good can come from that. And the, I do have an sponsee, and there is some self-esteem that I get from being the guy that I will show up whenever he needs, right? And you know, the fact that I'm helping him does help me. So I am every morning. I am thankful. You also mentioned, you know, you're telling your sons, well, it couldn't be worse, right? I do practice, you know, whenever I find something that's annoying or whatever, I do say to myself and sometimes to other people, if this is the worst thing that happens to me today, I am a lucky man, right? And with the car crash, maybe it's the worst thing this month, maybe it's the worst thing this year, I am still a lucky man. And I would not have that attitude in my life if I had not been able to find, if I hadn't been guided by God to Alcoholics Anonymous. That's not about immediate alcoholics.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, David.
You know, it's funny, the car crash happened on Friday night, so, you know, nothing's open. So, typical alcoholic Saturday. I'm trying this into my insurance. Now I'm going to have to put this on my credit card. How am I going to get to work? And I'm like, man, I got insurance. I have a credit card. I have a job. Shut up and just be thankful that I can do those things. So, I get it. Sal, you want to say something?
Yeah. So, thank you for your share. Whenever people talk about their kids, right? And right there, that hits a nerve right there, you know? Because, me growing up, right, I never had my dad, right? I grew up in a house with my brother's dad, which he always, like, singled me out, like, he'd be like, hey, let's go to the store, and I'd be like, yeah, let's go, you know? And he'd be like, no, not you, you're not my kid, you know? You're my son. Straight out like that, you know? And then, I always had this grudge against him, you know? But, it's just, I didn't understand the need to sit, you know? And, you know, we all have our defects of character, you know? Especially if we're one of, like, being responsible or whatever, you know? Whatever you want to call it, you know? And, I always told myself, you know, like, I never had my dad in my life, right? And I always told myself, you know, if I ever have a kid, I'm waiting to be in their life, you know? And, you know, had a kid, my baby mom took her to Florida. I'm not in life, no, so I'm like, you know, I always said I was gonna be like my dad, you know? Never be there, you know, for me, like, I've never met him. I talked to him one time on the phone, that was it. You know, and it was just like, I had so many questions on my immigration, and like, it was just like, I was just struggling to just some man to do, you know? And, but you know, I was told myself I was never going to be like that, you know, and it's a trip, right? How I ended up in the same situation, but you know, it's just different facts came into play or whatever, different scenarios or whatever. But, yeah, man, I can't wait until I'm able to talk to my daughter, then, you know, like, just explain, you know, how, you know, if things happen, you know, and I'll be able to make things right, you know, one day. I just want to, it was just that I was just, you know, but yeah, thanks, man. That's all I got.
Thanks, John. So Chris left me in charge mistakenly. I'm gonna ask Sarah if she'd like to share online. Sarah,
she's still there,
and she left. Look at that. All right. So how about Sam?
Hey Sam. So today is Easter, and I also have 7 months today. So I'm You know, especially today, I'm really grateful for this program because, you know, I've left a little bit of wreckage in my past, you know, so it being Easter, like, I got invited to my family's house, but, like, so much drama, so then I got uninvited to my family's house. And so, you know, I had fully prepared, like, I was like, what are you doing today? What are you doing tomorrow? I was like, I'm going to nap and cry. That was my goal for today, and, you know, because of this program, I didn't get to do that. You know, like, I'm real honest about everything, so somebody was like, what are you doing for Easter? Happy crying, bro, that's all I got. And I didn't get to do that. I had phone calls all day, I had knocking on my door all day. It was, you know, let's go pick up the barbecue for the guys, let's go do this, so, you know, I wouldn't have gotten out of it today if I wasn't, like, practically forced to. And it was all people that I met in this program. And, you know, it used to, it wouldn't have been like that. My whole life has been wrong. It's like, I'm going to nap and cry today. And my whole life before this program was like, oh, okay, well, Sam's going to be seven. We're not going to bug her. But, you know, somebody told me, you know, not to be sad. I'm like, first of all, I'm going to come with you.
Right?
But then I thought about it, you know, this is the last Easter that I'll have to, you know, not get to watch my kids not eggs. As long as I keep working the way that I'm working, as long as I keep doing all my step work and being of service and doing whatever I can, I know that my life has gotten so much better just in the past 7 months. You know, when I walked up to see visions, I was homeless and hopeless, and it's kind of like a stray cat that walks up, like, eat here, eat me out here, I'm tired. And that's what it was for me. And one of the counselors made the comment, you know, you're only going to get this program what you've been into this program. And it really like sunk in, and I don't know why. Because it wasn't even a comment she made to me. She was making it in passing on both of mine. But it's really true. You know, I really, like, I dove in. And, you know, whether it was, like, at the house, every possible mission I could be, I was. You know, the first chance I got a service commitment, really, Wednesday night. Now I'm chipped up, and I really enjoy that. But, yeah, so today, surprisingly, wasn't a terrible day. I'm a little irritated. I didn't get to ask questions I wanted to, because that was really cool. But, you know, I'm really blessed. I'm really blessed with the support system that I have today. And I know life isn't always going to go the way that I want it to, because it never has, you know. Like, I totally relate to being a person who's hilarious. I'm hilarious because I've always been, like, taller and bigger and louder and blonder and funnier, in my opinion, than most people.
Right.
So it was like, you know, I've never been able to blend in. I've always stood out whether I liked it or not. But the way I always thought was, if I can make you laugh, I stand out because I make you laugh, not because you make jokes about me, you know. And it's crazy going to different meetings now, because there's so many people who come up like, oh, Sam, are you? I don't know any people. But I do, though. That's the crazy part, is I know so many people now that, you know, I have some type of memory, some type of story, which is what everybody I come across. That's not a person I've ever been in this life. It's always kind of just, you know, whether it's my brother's little sister or my mom's daughter, it's never like, oh, yeah, that's Sam. It's like, oh, that's Tammy's daughter, you know, it's like. And today, I have this great group of friends that's probably, like, the biggest accomplishment that I can honestly say I have so far is creating this group of people who genuinely supports each other. We go to meetings together. You know, we're real just honest and protective of each other, and it's not something I've never had that. I've always just been that person myself. And so for this program really has shown me what it's like to have friends that become family and the importance of being somebody's somebody, you know? Like, I volunteer mostly at Mothering Heights now, and every single one of those girls has my phone number. Like, I have it printed out all day in the bulletin board. Because they call me, you know? And I remember wishing I had somebody to call when I first went to the program because, you know, I didn't have any family, I didn't have any friends. I had isolated from everybody in my addiction, so I was totally fine not being around people until I wasn't anymore. And, you know, so I want to make sure that people know, like, hey, well, if you have nobody to talk to, call me. I'll talk to you. It's totally fine. It's totally fine. I could do that, you know? So, yeah, I'm really grateful for the people that I have around me today. And that's all I have.
Hello, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. Sam, good job.
Kyle, you want to share?
Yeah, I do. My name's Kyle, an alcoholic. I was listening to your share, and I really enjoyed it a lot because there's a tremendous amount I could relate to. Surprisingly, I'm used to being the laugh or making people laugh. I'm used to being comedic, and a lot of times it gets to a point where I'm just doing that. I'm just putting that mask on as a defense mechanism, as a way to hide what's really going on inside. Right now I'm going on the fourth step, and I've had to think about my inventory this whole time, and the word self-hatred keeps coming up. Because I heard you say scared, insecure, and no, always a funny guy, you know, and really I was a scared, insecure guy, you know, mad at himself because he could never do anything right, not knowing how to do anything right, and frustrated because I couldn't do anything right. But I come into these programs today and I see that there's a solution for me. I have a little happiness, I have a little hope. I hear Amber talking about her kids. I got to play softball today. It took my mind off thinking about my kid. But when I looked and saw the family playing with their kids, my fact is I haven't just my son. I had spent some other holidays with him, but that's one holiday I was always absent for. And that crushed me. And I was like, I hate myself. You know, and that's a good place to be. You know, because I don't want to be that man I used to be. You know, sometimes it gets me in trouble being the funny guy too much, and people are used to you being the funny guy. And when you're trying to be a little bit more serious, then you get mad at them. You kind of did that on your own. You know, you can't really blame them for something that they expect you to be. You know, so it's, I was talking earlier today about striking a balance. You know, not just with my personality defense. It's okay to be a funny guy sometimes. It's also okay. It's also sometimes you got to be a little bit serious, especially when people's lives are on the line. You know, I never want to share irresponsibly or say something that could affect somebody's sobriety. I used to be that guy, like you were talking about, that guy who just tried to think of something to say that would convince other people that I've arrived or I've got it, and that just try what I'm saying. You know, that was so irresponsible of me to do, knowing that I didn't have a clue on what I was doing, because as soon as I got a little bit of the material things the program promises, I unplugged myself from that power that was keeping me sober, which I believe was the triangle, you know, and I was in the center of it, God, service, and unity, and doing those things, and I unplugged myself from the power, took the steering wheel back from God, and crashed as soon as I did such things. You know, because I'm a people pleaser, I want to feel accepted, I want people to accept me, and I only feel comfortable in my own skin when other people accept Like, if I can make them laugh, then I don't have to worry about them picking on me or something like that. I don't have to worry about having to defend myself. And it's a coping method. It's a defense strategy. You know, if I make them laugh, they're not my enemy. You know? And I'm learning to that stinking thinking, that old mentality. It's a bad place. But it's a stock that I got in my own basement of character defects like Sal was talking about that I don't want anymore. It causes that self-hatred. Like, fuck, I hate that. I hate that I just can't get it right. I hate that I always go back to drinking because I haven't learned to deal with life on its own terms. And I can't wait until I get to that point where I can surrender the defects of character to God. You know, and that's the next step, but one step at a time. Right now, I'm just having to look at it. Look at all the resentments. Look at the fact that it was all due to self-will. It was all due to my own selfishness. And that was the insanity of it all. I didn't know how to live life. I didn't, you know, I don't think it was my dad's fault. I'm the best at playing the victim card. You know, I played the victim card all my life. I feel sorry for Kyle. You know, and now I hate people feeling sorry for me because I don't have an excuse anymore not to get this. You know, it's been laid before me, a set of principles that could restore me back to sanity, and I'm doing it with all my heart and soul, and I expect to get the promises, and that's all we got.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
That's a lot to have, brother.
Who's up, Kyle?
Thank you.
Sorry, sir. Speak my language.
From the heart.
How about online, John L?
He was just there.
Hi. I'm John.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
I don't know if you guys can hear me or not.
Yeah, we can hear you. You speak up a little bit, we can hear you.
All right. I was going to make it to the meeting, but I was going to arrive late, so I decided to do this on Zoom. And this Easter was the first Easter that I wasn't able to be with my kids. And that they were a little upset about that. And, let's see. But, my dad talked to them over the phone, and they were crying and wished that I was there, but I don't think they understand that me and their mom is not together because of my drinking. And, I don't know, so I mean, hearing what everybody was saying, and I really like their stories. I mean, I really don't know what to say right now. I was kind of caught off guard a little right now. It was good to see everybody there. I mean, I was there. I mean, that's all I have for right now. So,
John, thanks, brother. Thanks.
Thank you, John. Glad you're here.
Come on out. Goodbye.
Oh, well.
I think everyone here, Dave.
Hey, Dave, I'm hanging up with Holly. Hey, Dave. Hey, Paul, Holly. Thanks for your share.
I definitely raised a lot of ways, a lot of areas. You know, for me today, I'm grateful for feelings and emotions. You know, truly am. Like, those are the things that I've ran from and covered and tucked inside and behind and done everything I could for those things, you know, to not have to go through and fill them, you know, drugs, alcohol, you know, alcohol, drugs, whatever, street life, it's my feelings and my emotions, you know, but because of this program,
work the steps, you know, I just went into step 8, and like you said, you know, that, that weight is positioned with every step that I've completed. Every time I meet my sponsor, you know, I look forward to that time every week. I text him a couple of days before, I try to call him every day, you know, and, I get excited for those days. It's like a birthday every week, you know, for real. It's a beautiful sense of freedom, the weight, you know, just, the things that I've burdened my own self with. All these years, you know, to get out of my head, to get out of my, the inside, you know, and, put it on paper and how my sponsor is just, beautiful. It's awesome. I love it. I love it. And, you know, I've been working at this since, 2016. And, you know, going to meetings and stuff, I realized I was never honest and thorough. I always held something back. There's always a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Thinking, I don't have to keep this out. You know, nobody needs to know this. I don't need to tell anybody that. And it's not gonna come back and get me. You know, and it's not really. I realized, you know, this last couple of weeks, even my sponsor, it wasn't that specific thing that was coming back and get me. It's because I didn't get it out. You know, it wasn't like, you know, see, I stole this bike and I didn't put it on my list and da da da. I didn't say something about it, so that didn't come back and get me. It's because I wasn't honest and thorough and open, and I didn't put it down. I didn't speak about it. In other ways, things come back and up. You know, I went back to drinking, I went back to using, because I wasn't honest and thorough from the very start, like the book says. You know, have that open-minded willingness to change. You know, I wanted to change everything except that little piece. You know, this time, and then the next time, I was like, okay, I got to change that piece, but this time I'm not going to change this piece. And for me, that stuff truly has a way of coming back and getting me. And it has. You know, so this time I definitely haven't held anything back, at all. You know, I got like, about 8.5, almost 9 months. You know, and it's definitely a new experience. It's definitely a, beautiful sense of freedom and the feelings and emotions, you know. I had to work today, so I went to pick my kids up yesterday and, took them to the park and did the Easter thing, floating kites and, Easter egg hunt, gave them their baskets and took all kinds of pictures. And then we went and got pizza, went to the car show and fed the ducks and, spent most of the day with them yesterday. Those are things I get to do today. And things I have to do, like, you know, the past 5 years ago, I can remember, my daughter flying a kite and so excited. She's been flying a little $2 kite. And, Dad, look at this, and how high it is, and everything. And I'd be all drunk and loaded, and, it wouldn't mean shit. It didn't mean nothing. You know, that's fucking sad. You know, that's fucking, it's sad. I'm a grown-ass man. You know, it's sad. And then, yesterday, my littlest one, she's 3 years old, and, she couldn't get the kite up, and the wind was blowing. And I don't know what it was, but, it just wouldn't go up, and she's just running back and forth, and she's laughing. And I start crying, and she's like, Dad, I said, you know, she thought I was crying because her kite wasn't flying, right? And I'm like, no, it's like, I'm sorry, Dad, you know, and I'm like, oh, it's not that. I'm so happy. I'm happy, you're happy. And she's like, you're happy, but you're crying, you know, and, I had to wipe tears off my face. It was tears of joy, and I felt it, and I loved every second of it. And, it was a great feeling. It was awesome. You know, and then her kite finally went up, and she's like, look, stop crying now, you know? And, the things I get to feel today, it's just awesome. It's beautiful. And, you know, I've neglected it for so many years. Can't change yesterday. Can change, you know, 5 years ago. I live for the here and now. You know, I trust God in house and work with others. You know, I'm connected in all sides of the triangle. I feel, and my sponsor feels too, you know, I definitely got a different perspective on life today. And, I enjoy every moment of it. I don't think I'm going to forget anymore. Maybe that's all I got.
Thank you, Dave. Okay, we've got two people online that haven't had a chance to share yet. One is H and the other is Santos. You want to try?
I'm going to H.
All right, H, you're up.
Okay, how about Santos?
Of course. I'm just here, listening in. I enjoyed my Easter today, a little barbecue for the family. But yeah, it's an ongoing thing, you know. I try to attend as much as I can. Sometimes if I can on Sunday, I'll attend on Monday afternoon. But yeah, just hearing your guys' stories is, you know, enlightening. Yeah, just a day, you know, every day. I'm not like all you guys, you know. My birthday's like what, Super Bowl Sunday. It's the last time I had a drink. Oh yeah, that's pretty much what I got to say.
Thank you guys for having me.
So what Santos isn't telling you is he's kind of become our secret little Santa online. there's, you know, a lot of times Dave and I get distracted just trying to keep all the cameras and everything, muting and everything set up straight. And sometimes people will ask questions, on the chat, and Santos is always quick to make to answer those people and help them to feel welcome. And so thank you, Santos. We appreciate your service, brother.
Nice. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah.
Appreciate it too.
I tried my
best. I know when I was new, it was kind of like odd for me to fill out a place, but being here now a few months, I'm be here for the end of the year or so, or who knows, maybe longer.
Hey, we love you, Santos. Thanks for being here. All right,
thanks, man.
All right. So that just about wraps up our time. So the Valley Group encourages sponsorship and service to our fellowship. We invite you to come early.